listen up. Y'all, it's the queen of automation, Megan Donnelly, here to give you inspiration. Founders and business owners, gather round. I'ma show you how to build systems that'll astound. Streamline your processes, no need for complications.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Chronically Automated Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Donnelly.
I'm your co-host, Anthony Labosco.
Today we are, you know what, we're talking about the holidays and how to not freak out about the holidays being a business owner. And this is for all of you who I know religiously listen to my podcast. I just gave Anthony crap for this. Every episode, right? All of you. You all listen to all the episodes. I'm kidding. I put out a quick, like, how to reset your business, like, from an automations operations standpoint, a quick episode. It was like a 15-minute episode, and I just kind of told you all how I do a reset at the end of every year. And I just, like, scrub through all my stuff to guarantee that I am not going to have a freak out, and I'm going to be able to take, like, I try to take off 2 weeks at Christmas time all the every year. I mean, now that my kids are older, I don't think they care if I have time. Like, I get maybe 4 days out of them, and then they're back to video games, and they don't want to hang out with me anymore. So, you know, whatever. But if I want to, I will at least be off for a week because my mom will be in town for sure.
Nice.
With that being said, I'm still going to freak out. I don't know about you, Anthony, but we're probably still going to have a moment of freak out because that's just what our neurodiverse brains do. At least mine does. I'm going to reset. The business is going to be fantastic. Everything's going to be all set up from a business operations standpoint. It's going to run. It's going to be all good. And then my brain is basically going to give me the middle finger and say, guess what? You're still going to have a panic attack and think that you need to check your email every 5 seconds or check your phone and make sure nobody's notifying you or, you know, all of the things. So I thought that would be a really good idea to do it like a second continuation of that episode with you and I. And let's get real, right? Like, that's great. We can set up the automations and the operations and all the things. That doesn't actually, I mean, we can't do that to our brains. There's no way for it unless we have some like supersonic lasers that we can, yeah, I don't know. But I thought it was a good continuation of that because I know that my brain is still going to, I'm still going to feel like I need to check every notification and check all the stuff and all the things. Nobody's working during the week of Christmas or Hanukkah or any of those holidays times, whichever holiday you celebrate, you know, nobody's actually checking in. Why? Let's answer that age old question, Anthony. Why can't our brains, you have ADHD, you have MS, you have autism, you have any of these different like neurodiversity things, why can't we just step away and like enjoy our lives outside of this thing that we call business?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you, right? And I think up until this point, you know, again, you know, with me being in sales, this has always been a time for me to, everyone says like you were just saying, yeah, let's take a few weeks off. It's going to be great. You know, in sales and plus, of course, with anxiety and MS undiagnosed and everything like that, I would always run harder because the anxiety was right there and everything, right? But now, personally, for me, I'm a year into my business that I'm full-time with it. And, you know, I've done a couple of things, Megan. And, you know, besides, of course, the amazing things that we have done together and that we are doing together. And like you said, in terms of automation, in terms of technology, in terms of, you know, managing your time and everything like that. Yeah, absolutely. That is a game changer for me. But the biggest game changer has been I inadvertently stopped drinking. Okay. So listen to that. So, you know, doesn't really matter what the motion is, whether you stop drinking or, you know, stop eating something or whatever it is, but just health-wise, right? I realized I said, wow, my business is beginning to scale and I'm really getting kind of crazy and everything like that. I was waking up at like 7:30 and, you know, getting to my desk around 9, and I'm like, this is not going to work in terms of me getting my goals.
Yeah.
So I inadvertently, besides, of course, reading about, you know, what everyone, what all the successful people do, including yourself, you know, what does everyone do? And I said, well, why can't I do that? Why can't I wake up early? Why can't I, you know, manage my time? And why can't I just be present with what I'm doing and not have anxiety? And then I realized that, okay, well, you know, I have MS and I do enjoy, or I did enjoy a couple of IPAs over the weekend. And I started to stop that. Next thing you know, I started to feel better. So I just stopped it, you know, for a couple of weeks. Then I stopped it for, holy cow, months. And now I haven't done it. I haven't had anything. And I will not have anything ever again, because it has not only stopped the pain for me, because, you know, alcohol is inflammation and everything, but it's increased.
Especially hops. Hops is the worst for inflammation. So I'm not a beer drinker ever. I've never have been, because hops does not agree with me. But I find that everybody I've talked to, not just entrepreneurs, but people in general, when they stop drinking the hops, that it's totally different. You just feel so different. So what I've noted, this is a really fantastic conversation, because I can tell you, I've done so much research around all of this. Of course I have, right? Because I need more things to research. But hops is gluten. One of the worst things. So when people, I know, people think gluten-free people are nuts. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Processed wheat flour. It's processed wheat flour. Like, flour is this processed thing that came up in society. You know, like, I don't even know. I'd have to go back and look and see when that happened. But that never used to be a thing. Okay. People back in way back, and that's what I don't know, is that I don't know the actual date of when flour actually became a processed, like, staple on the shelves. But before that, people didn't have these, like, gut health problems. They didn't have this bloating and this obesity and this, like, there's all of that. Gluten and flour is so bad for you. It's so bad for you. Now, obviously, everything could be bad for you, so you do it in moderation. But I will tell you, because I am a huge bread person. I love bread. I love carbs. I love all the things, all the health people tell you not to eat. I don't care. I'm still eating them. Leave me alone. Like, leave me alone. I'm eating them. But I will tell you, like, every once in a while, like you just said, I'll get like a bug on my butt. And I'm like, oh, I just feel like I can't eat. Like, I feel heavy. I feel gross. I feel like whatever. And I'll stop eating things that have the processed gluten in them and just like eat like rice and like grilled chicken, you know, like, and go back to the basics and just eat the basic stuff. And I'll do that for like 2 or 3 weeks. And I feel so much better. All of the chemicals, including alcohol and hops. Now, wine is actually okay. Obviously, I'm not telling you to, okay, go out and start drinking wine instead. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Wine is better because it's made from grapes and not made from this processed flour and this hops, right? So there's not gluten in wine. And obviously, you drink it in moderation. And I drink very sparingly when it comes to wine also. But around the holidays, I like to have wine with my mom and stuff like that. But I will tell you, you are spot on, because everything we eat and we put into our bodies right now is processed chemicals. Everything you find on the shelves in a supermarket is processed chemicals. Even the fruit, like, yo, people will say, oh, I get fresh vegetables and fresh fruits. What do you think the pesticides?
Yeah.
Are that they put on to make them bigger, better, faster, stronger, make them grow faster. You think they're spraying non-chemical pesticides? Like, unless you are growing your own fruit and vegetables out in your back, your garden, in your house, and you know what's being put on them, everything that comes out of the supermarket
is bad for you. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, again, the version of MS that I have, and I say version because MS is a snowflake disease. It's different for absolutely everyone. Christina Applegate, myself, and
diversity. All of these things that we talk about on this show and this podcast, we're all snowflake. I mean, everyone in the world is a snowflake, but this stuff It's like a snowflake upon a snowflake. Anthony and I are double snowflakes.
So
like we have the human snowflake, and then we have the whatever snowflake on top of it.
Exactly. So someone a while ago said to me, who has MS, who's a good friend of mine, he said, you know, wow, so you drink on the weekends and stuff like that. That's fine. He's like, wouldn't you want to give your body the best chance to just really, you know, be able to really prosper? And I said, I just love my IPAs. It's fine. But, you know, again, like my version of MS, I get pain in my face. Okay. And I didn't think there was any relation to, you know, alcohol or anything along those lines. And once I stopped that, so listen to this, the pain had gone away, but more importantly, but in the same token, my brain fog had gone away too, which has never happened before. So I actually feel my anxiety is down to as low as it has been. So anyway, I'm not here to just flex and say, oh, yeah, yay, me. And meanwhile, like half hour from now, I'm probably going to blow up, but who knows? I'm just saying, you know, exactly. And you know what? I mean, you take that moment and you enjoy it, right? And that's what I'm doing. So, you know, regardless, when you're talking about like all the stresses of everything and, you know, this and that, when you're scaling a business for the first time and you're running a business for a year full time, like I have, you know, there is some anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety that comes along with that.
A lot.
But, you know, of course, besides, of course, having the technology and the partners that I have with you, it's amazing. But still, there's the other element of it that drives you nuts. Getting rid of, you know, that other element that now I'm up at 5 a.m. I am doing all my motions for growing my business before 9 o'clock. So the morning is mine. I own the morning.
You watched that Dan Martell video, didn't you? 90 minutes in the morning, didn't you? You watched it. I know you did.
I have seen it, but you know, but no, I mean, I just kind of, well, I'm not saying I came up with it, but I didn't do it because of him. I did it because I needed to do it.
He has so many good things. I'm not knocking.
Totally. And the reality is that, it's a real, you know, this time of year is crazy, but I don't know. For me personally, this is the most exciting time that I've ever had because I have a business that is not only bringing money in, but is growing. And I have amazing business partners that I'm working with, like yourself, like, you know, Nat Darren and, you know, everyone else as well. And it's just absolutely amazing. And by the way, this is not like official business partners. I mean, business partners, people that we work.
Yeah, our inner circle. I like to call them the inner circle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that is just, and you know, Megan, better than anyone. I mean, just like you and I mean, you know, corporate America was not that great of an environment, right? And now because we've chosen in a way the people that we are surrounding ourselves with by putting ourselves out there in an authentic way has been, you know, a game changer. And now that, you know, I feel great, you know, at least again, right this second, and I'm knock on wood and all that. It's just wonderful to experience this. And I'm so excited about next year. I really am. And I'm excited about this year and everything that we've accomplished.
Me too.
But yes, it is a real thing. Crazy. Some time off and everything like that. And I think for you, it's a little different because, you know, you're a mom and, you know, moms have a much different view on things. And that's a really cool thing about our podcast. I'm a dad.
We don't get a time off.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, you're an autistic mom as well. Right. And you have a lot of things and you're a dog mom as well. You know, you have a lot of things and you live in Wisconsin and it's 2 freaking degrees or is it -2 degrees? I don't know. I think at that point it doesn't matter. You know, it's different for you. You have a much different view on things, a much different perspective being a mother, being an autism mom, being a dog mom, right? And also one thing I said as well is that you know, it's 2 degrees or minus 2 degrees in Wisconsin right now.
So negative you're dealing four. With that crazy. It's negative four with wind chill.
Are you kidding me?
No. And it gets down to like negative 25 with wind chill sometimes because it's called the lake effect. So we have all the Great Lakes and the Great Lakes around us, and it's stupid. It's really stupid. I can't wait to be a snowbird. That's my goal in life, is to be a snowbird. I love the snow. It's pretty. I don't like the really freezing cold temperature, which is why like New England was so good for me, because the snow is beautiful. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, it is. It's different being a mom for sure. I feel like the really, really good dads out there, I think you're a great dad. I know that your girls think you are obnoxious or whatever, because that's what teenagers do. But the really great dads out there make sure that it's not just the moms that feel the pain. And for me, I totally get the health thing, which is why I have adopted a long time ago that I let my brain and body like lead the way, and how I'm feeling lead the way. And this is not just around the holidays. And if more people would do this year round, they would feel so much better about their everything.
Yeah.
Like their whole life.
And you know what, Megan, I think that there's one other thing I need to mention, is that I'm only in this for 2.5 years, technically, right? I mean, I've had this since I'm 18, but I have only been diagnosed, you know, March of 2023. So
it's so hard, like knowing something is off, but not knowing, yeah. You know what I mean? And you probably totally. Just like in your 20s, you ignore it. See, I wouldn't have even, at least I think I probably would have ignored it in my 20s. I've known since I was 15, obviously, right? Because I got diagnosed. So many people I talk to that are similar to you that are like, they get a late diagnosis, or they're now self-diagnosed with ADHD or whatever else they have going on. It's like, you're not stupid in your 20s. You know something's weird or something's off, but in your teens, you're in your 20s, right? So you know everything, and nobody can tell you what to do. And like, you know, like, doctor's not going to tell you anything. Nah, you don't need to go see a doctor. Like, you're good.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it's just a very smart thing to do. And here I am saying smart thing that I've done. And I think that everyone should do this as well, is that when you are dealing with something that you know, that you finally know, and by the way,
yeah.
The reason why I wasn't living at this level with MS at 18, it progressed over the years,
yeah.
Right? That's why it got so, you know, it just got to the point that I had to go to the doctor and get it diagnosed. But
yep.
Being said, you know, I pushed the boundaries for a while and everything. And now that I'm getting, you know, not only used to this lifestyle, but saying, okay, well, I have to live with this, but my goal is an entrepreneur, and I'm going to be a successful entrepreneur regardless, because this is a way, and bringing it back, right, is to build businesses. And you taught me this. You were the one that taught
me. Did?
You told me this.
Did I teach you?
I didn't even know that this was possible. Building a business around your health.
Yes. 100%.
That I have absolutely done, and you taught me how to do that. And you know, once you do that, and once you start to really come to the realization about things that, you know, what you can do, what you can't do, and you accept certain things, because there is a level of acceptance as well. Anyone that's neurodiverse, right, really has to come to the conclusion that, look, I'm neurodiverse. There are certain things that don't work for me. Maybe it could be, you know, having a lot of caffeine. Maybe it could be, you know, staying up late at night, or, you know, things like that. Something as, you know, someone that is not neurodiverse would not have an issue with. So you're not playing by the same rules, is what I've realized. And as a result, I'm playing by my rules. And because of
exactly.
that, I'm suffering.
Exactly. The biggest thing that everyone can do for themselves to reset their body and their mind, right? Now that we've taken care of the technology operations side of things,
to reset your body and mind is one of these nights or days, or, you know, when you are not working, maybe you write a journal or maybe you write it down or a pros and cons list. I don't know. However you want to do it. The biggest thing about all of this is you have to do what works for you. You have to do what works for you. I am not a morning person because I don't sleep a lot. And frankly, the only time that I get sleep is between like 4 a.m. and like 7. And that's just, I just don't sleep. And if I do end up asleep, I'm not getting up. I don't care. Like people say to do the routine or whatever. I have tried everything. Doctors have tried everything. We've tried all the medications. We've tried all of which I refuse to take now because they just make you feel awful. I'm not taking a narcotic just to help myself sleep. I'm not functioning any less by just allowing my body to lead the way. Until it starts to affect me in a negative way, I'm leaving it alone. And that's me doing me, right? You know, most people can't function on only four hours of sleep, 2 hours of sleep, right? Most
no
people
way. Can't. Oh, yeah. That's
there are a certain percentage of us that can. I love sleep. If I wish that, I like literally go into bed every night at 9 p.m.
Wow.
And I just lie there awake. Now, the good part about it is what they tell me is that I used to realize, okay, well, I'm not sleeping, so I might as well get up and work. That wasn't good because my body wasn't resting. So to getting back to this point about what the whole episode's about. So my body wasn't resting, right? So now, even if I go into bed at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I read a book. I listen to a podcast or I just put stupid TV on. And I know like the whole, like people say Netflix is a waste of time. Well, here's the thing. That's my rest. Lying there and kind of going in and out of sleep and kind of just lying there and physically doing nothing and just lying there and letting my body just lay there. That's my version of rest. And then eventually I fall asleep and, I wake up and I'm fine. I'm good to go. I drink a whole big thing of water. They start drinking coffee and I'm like ready to go. And it's really weird, but it works for me. I don't know why I can't sleep. They haven't figured it out. And they, you know, they did say there's a very low percentage of the population. It's like 2% or less, like 1.5% or something ridiculous of the entire world's population that can function on less than 4 hours of sleep a night. So that's what I do. But so going back to what we're talking about, this reset for your mind and body, when it comes to the holidays, and I know I'm going to freak out and I just don't anymore. And I know that sounds weird, but I will give my phone to my kids and have them put it somewhere during the day. Or what I'll do is I'll set boundaries. Like, so I usually give my phone to my youngest. He's 16 and I'll give him my phone and I'll be like, don't give this back to me until like 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night when I go to bed, whatever, something like that. And then I don't have it. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind, right? And there's notifications. I've also, during my vacations now, I turn off every single notification on my phone. All of them.
Wow. Great.
All of the apps, all of the calendars, all of the crap, it gets turned off. Because if I'm on vacation or I'm off, I'm generally with the people that I need to be with, my kids, my family, whoever. I do the same thing when I'm at a networking event. Because I'm there and I'm present. And the only way that I'm going to be present is if all that shit goes away. All of it. Otherwise, there's nothing that anyone can do. And I will check every single notification and I will open every email and I will do all the things. Now, emails, I figured out a way a long time ago. I hate emails, so I don't open those ever. Sorry for anyone who sends me emails. I do have some
That's why you haven't heard back from her yet.
I do have people that check for me and I do go into DMC. So I do check the important stuff. Yeah. I mean, I just turn it all off and you have to physically find a way to completely disconnect yourself. That's the only way. And what I'm doing doesn't work for some people. Maybe what Anthony's doing isn't going to work for people. You just have to, the biggest mindset shift is stop listening to us. Stop listening to me. Stop listening to Anthony. Stop listening to all the people out there in the world. Figure out what works for you.
Exactly.
And even if it's completely crazy And everybody's going to look at you like you have seven heads. Do it anyway. If it works for you and it makes you feel better and you're not seeing a lack of performance in your life, in your business, just in general, then it works for you. Done. Problem solved.
Yeah. I mean, look, I always tell people, and just like you, you know, I mean, unapologetic, right, is really what it comes down to. And, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, I mean, I have a really good reason of not drinking, right? I mean, you look at society, look at, you know, all my friends and, you know, everything. Although there is a very big trend in the world right now where alcohol consumption, I think, has been reduced, and a lot more people, especially over 50, you know, maybe have stopped drinking or whatever it is. But, you know, when I tell people that, look, hey, what, you know, Anthony, are you having a drink? No, I'm not drinking anymore. But when I tell them why, you know, very quickly, then like, I try not to give them too much information, but, you know, it's a really good reason. No one can, I don't know. It's just
to say this. I have to say this, and I do agree with you, but you know what? Shame on all those fucking
I know.
People. Excuse my language. It's none of their damn business.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's nobody's. No, and this is me saying high five to you and screw all those people because it's none of their damn business. What I think is really sad that our society is so alcohol like craved that when you stop drinking, they're like, oh my God, why? Are you okay? What? No, there's something wrong with you. Why are you drunk all the time?
No, here's the thing.
That should not be people's first reaction.
It's like, wow, I'm going to tell everybody. Stop drinking.
And Anthony already knows this, and the people who are close to me already know this. And I'm going to tell everybody this because I honestly, again, I am unapologetically me all the time, 100%. How I have stopped drinking because one of the things, I mean, a lot less. Like I said, I do have wine here and there, but what I do now is I'll make a mocktail. And so I don't drink soda, right, at all anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
So I've been trying to figure out, like, so I've drank everything sugar-free. I try to drink things that don't have dyes in them, that have the extra sugar in them. So what I've been doing is taking those little THC drops. It's liquid. And yeah, I said THC, and I don't care if everybody hates me for it. And it's a little, they're little drops. They're clear, they're flavorless, they're liquid. You can put them in any drink. And I'm not talking about, like, I'm getting high and I'm going to eat everything in the house. That's not what I'm talking about. My brain needs to just settle down and relax, but I need to do it without alcohol. And I haven't found a really good hobby yet that has replaced it. I tried the working out thing for a really long time. Like I was like one of those crazy, ridiculous, like fitness people where I was like at the gym all the time. And then I was doing this, whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, I was a dancer for so much of my life that the fitness thing I thought would just fit right in, and it didn't. It was awful. Hated that. So I take a regular like seltzer water or something like that that's sugar-free and flavored, and I put a little bit in there and it just relaxes me. And then I'm not freaking out about everything. And I'm not like, my brain goes a million miles an hour all the time, 24 hours a day. I'm always like in hyperspeed mood. And that's one thing that I can't turn off. This helps me just turn it off. And I just get to sit there and I can have conversations with my friends and my peers. And I can just sit there and be just, I feel like a normal human, which I hate that word. You know how much I hate the word normal, but it's just this thing that, and then I don't want a drink. I don't even feel, I don't need it. I don't want it. doesn't matter to me. The entire group of people I'm with around me could be drinking and I don't care. I'm good. I'm having just as much fun as they are. I'm just sitting there and happy and mellow and like, it's great.
Yeah.
Freaking fantastic. And it's a natural thing that grows out of the ground and they have figured out how to liquefy it. And I'm all about it.
Yeah. I mean,
fantastic.
I think the moral of the story here is whatever works for you is, and it's having a positive impact on the way that you are working, playing, and really doing whatever it is that you're doing, is a great thing, right? And I think I backed in, you know, in terms of a lot of my habits, you know, working out, you know, every day, sleeping well.
Yep.
Really not having much sugar. Those are all based on based on inflammation, based on reducing inflammation. And that's not like for me, like I was explaining this to someone, like my whole life is like the game of operation, right? So if I don't have those barriers or boundaries in my life, then all of a sudden it's kind of like touch the sides, and then all of a sudden you're boom, you know, things go off, and that's what happens with me, and that's what happens with my pain, my brain fog. So it's kind of a no-brainer for me to really do something like that. But for everyone else, I think that it is, you know, something that people really need to consider for themselves. What's going to make them better? And the technology could be is amazing, but health-wise and everything, it really comes down to that, because at the end of the day, we only have 24 hours in a day. And then, you know, when you take it week by week and everything, you want to be able to do that at a great level that you're able then to sustain that. So anyway, did you just share something with me? I think Megan is having some difficulty.
Last thing I need to do before I let finish is let the dog out. Because she won't shut up. Rex, go. Dude, what the hell?
So really, I think what we talked about here really is, you know, our life and everything like that. And not just our life, but I think in general, people's lives, how you live it. And if you are really having, if your goal is to, you know, be successful with whatever you're doing, an entrepreneur, you know, a parent, or a friend, whatever it is, you need to really, you know, take stock of how you're living your life. And really, when you do that, and when you're able then to manage, you know, the intakes, right? I think that's really what it comes down to, because the inputs, just like data and everything else, have a